Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Museum and throughout this magnificent campus, you're going to find the stories of ordinary people who did extraordinary things. Stories that show the inevitable zig and zag of our efforts to perfect this nation, but that nonetheless paved the way for Barack Obama's presidency and everything achieved during his 8 years in office. This center is also a challenge to the next generation of changemakers because our work is never done. In the words inscribed on the outside of the museum building, we each have the glorious task of continuing to improve this great nation of ours. This center may be named for the Obamas, but it is built for you.
That's Valerie Jarrett, a former top Obama advisor, yesterday at the ceremony to ribbon cut the brand new big shiny rock of justice that is the Obama Center. I don't know how to describe it. It's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. But you know, and every president is entitled to have their library. You know, Trump is going to have a giant gold one in Miami. You got to figure. All the former presidents were there. The current president was not there, but you know, Clinton was there. Biden was there. You know, W. Bush was there. And by the way, did you notice Valerie Jarrett has a very weird way of saying the word museum? Did you notice that?
In the words inscribed on the outside of the museum building.
The museum building?
Inside this museum.
It's I'm not making it up. She says the museum.
Have you ever heard anybody say it again?
Yeah, she said it twice that same way. It's just kind of odd. I mean, You know, people have their weird little verbal foibles. It's fine.
Must be a Chicago thing.
It's not a Chicago thing. I will tell you, I'm from there.
I know.
I've eaten a lot of Portillo's in my life. Okay. But then it got weird. Or was this before? No, I can't remember it in chronological order. There was a moment where, well, I'll just let you hear what was said. Because there's been a lot of controversy over this thing. You know, as I said a few minutes ago, it was twice the budget it was supposed to be. It was only 5 years late, so it was overtime, over budget. Perfect Democrat project. a lot of controversy over the location, over the design, everything else. And then there's this.
We'd also like to take a moment to recognize the original inhabitants of the land upon which we are gathered today. We honor the Anishinaabe, the Council of Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi nations.
So she's taking time to praise and thank the original owners of the land upon which the Obama monolith has been built. But that would seem to indicate an acknowledgement that is very common in left-wing circles to have the land acknowledgement ritual. Would seem to indicate that the land was, what's the word they like to use, stolen. So, you know how no one's illegal on stolen land. You've heard the saying, you know, about immigration enforcement. So the Obamalith is, I kind of like that actually. The Obama monolith. The Obamalith. I mean, seriously, look at it and you tell me what you think it looks like. It's anyway. The Obamalith is built on stolen land, which they care just enough to virtue signal that they know, but not enough to actually do anything about it. Commentators were pretty ferocious about this. Steve D said, wouldn't they prefer you just give them back their land? Beth Ann Mumford of Americans for Prosperity, AFP, you sometimes hear from them. Land acknowledgments are funny because the real message is, I want to say I care, but I don't really care, or I wouldn't have built this on land, which I just said is yours. Stephen Miller, so you just went ahead and built on that land anyway, huh? Oh, man. That's funny. As someone who was anonymous, I was reading this story as at Fox anyway. I watched a little bit of the ceremony. An anonymous commentator said he balked at the logic of building a communist monument on stolen land that the new owners refused to give back. The mental hurdles are Olympics level. So, oh, everybody was there. Oprah Winfrey, Tom Hanks, David Letterman, all the politicos that I mentioned. You know, John Legend performed, Stevie Wonder performed, Bruce Springsteen performed. I mean, this was, I don't think I'm going too far out of line to say, this was the Kamala Harris inauguration they never got to have. 6:15 on News Radio 9. You remember how excited they were to have the DNC? I was there. I went to the DNC. This was a DNC part two all over again. This is, let's pretend Trump never happened, and let's just celebrate, you know, our guy who was and evermore shall never be. But his wife. And by the way, I did not watch her speech, but I hear it was fabulous. I do plan to watch it because I hear it was, you know, like a barn burner, and which is what happened at the DNC, too. She stole the show from her husband. Anyway, 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Coming up next in the Transgressive Memorial Service, find out why Brother Andrew loves Rick Scott and does not like Giants pitchers. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
All right, interesting. I can't wait. Let's see here. Got no accidents to report to you, but over in Milton, we're seeing Stewart Street and Cedar Street is possible water there. So just be aware of that. You might want to plan around that one. Just be careful in that area. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
All Our first remembrance is for four San Francisco Giants pitchers, one L.A. Dodgers pitcher, and the entire Texas Rangers organization for closely related but somewhat different reasons. During Rainbow People Pride Night, the teams wore caps featuring their iconic logo filled in with the colors of the rainbow. For that one night, they were literally players of the holy acronym string. Well, all of them except four. Three of the Giants troublemakers, plus Clayton Kershaw, decided to write Genesis 9 on their black caps with a white Sharpie, and San Francisco's Sam Henches chose to wear the standard Giants cap instead of the rainbow-logoed one. Now, obviously, we think it is atrocious that anyone would be so hateful as to even question wearing a rainbow-themed cap, or trying to remind Americans that the rainbow was originally given in Genesis 9 to Noah by God as a symbol of his promise to not destroy the world again by flooding, especially since we have been so effective at co-opting that symbol away from its original meaning and in favor of our crusade for sexual liberation and rejection of the Bible's morality. But here you have pitchers in two of the gayest cities in America insulting their fan bases by putting some narrow-minded religious graffiti on their official uniforms. Pride Night is supposed to be a celebration of inclusion, love, and non-judgment, which is why it's so important to exclude, hate, and judge these Christian players for their hat hissy fit. Inclusion isn't meant for everyone, you know. It's only for those we like. Inclusion for me, but not for thee, as we always say. For those of you who might be new in your devotional work, let me remind you of the very first rule of wokeness. Whenever you do not have power, demand the right to dissent, and whenever you do have power, deny the right to dissent. This is basic stuff, people. That's why, for instance, when Colin Kaepernick knelt during the national anthem or when Tommy Thorpe and John Carlos raised black glove fist during the Olympics, we were all for it because we agree with them. But obviously, we disagree with these pitchers, and that's all there is to it. We protect viewpoints we like and we suppress viewpoints we dislike, so if during the July 4th weekend, for instance, when teams usually wear red, white, and blue themed caps, if some players were to write 3/5 of a person or no one is illegal on stolen land on them, we would totally support that because we like what they're saying, the only time we believe in free speech. And as for the Texas Rangers, they're the only team in baseball to not even have a Pride Night, let alone the mere wearing of rainbow-logoed caps. Instead, they actually have a Faith and Family Night scheduled in its place. Seriously? Now, obviously, we can't condone letting a team refuse to bow down and pay cap service to the holy acronym string. Do I even have to explain why? But to actively supplant Rainbow Pride Night with essentially traditional morality night is just a limp-wristed slap in the face to all we hold dear. Even worse, during the ceremonial first pitch on Pride Night, they actually make the catcher face toward the pitcher. For shame. The only lining to this dark cloud of bigotry is that Major League Baseball has warned the players against adding any personalized statements to their official uniforms. And in this, at least, as long as the words being banned are bad ones, we agree. And we do support MLB's decision to rebrand itself as MLBTQIA+ for the month of June. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, now I want to prepare you, dear Otherin, because this is going to feel very, very weird. But this week, we are officially awarding the Sitar of Equity with 5 Burning Sage bundles to Florida Republican Senators Rick Scott and Ashley Moody. Now, I know that normally these self-described conservatives would never be mentioned favorably in this service, but they've really done something fantastic this week by putting political pressure on the Tampa Sports Authority to cancel the 2 Kanye West performances scheduled later this month at Raymond James Stadium.
If we don't stand up and vocally reject the hate that Kanye West pushes, if we don't stop this concert, we're telling everyone that anti-Semitism is okay. No, it's not okay.
No, it is not okay. He says it is, of course, important to remember that Ye has long since stopped being a voice of our people when he said things like, "I am a Nazi," selling swastika shirts, and releasing a music video entitled "Hail Hitler." So yes, even though he is a black man and therefore entitled to a lot of latitude, Kanye has gone way over the line, including expressing political support for the president who shall not be named while wearing a Make America Great Again hat. I know, it's scandalous. So when Scott and Moody publicly demanded that the other TSA cancel Ye's concert, we were thrilled in part because, of course, we don't want a black white supremacist being platformed anywhere, but also in part because finally, these two Republicans have so eagerly thrown aside their longstanding support for free speech and the First Amendment.
And when you have a taxpayer-funded body that is prioritizing hate and anti-Semitism, they have a lot of explaining to do.
Obviously, our entire movement is based on censoring and stifling and deplatforming and canceling people. It's right there in our name. The First 17th Holy Church of Self-Righteous Cancellation, Unreformed, Apostolic, Portland Synod. But for the longest time, conservatives complained about us being un-American and totalitarian for our speech codes and our virtue signals and our belief that you can change culture by changing thought and you change thought by changing language. Well, now they've joined us, actively calling for an unconstitutional prior restraint from a public venue against a musician for things he's said in the past they find offensive to Jewish Floridians.
We have a clear moral duty to reject hate at every level.
Yes. We love to see them abandoning their core principles at a time of political convenience, precisely because it proves exactly what we've always said. Free speech is far too dangerous for ordinary people to use it without supervision. Now, we are aware that Tampa has said they follow the principles of free speech in operating their venue, and we've also heard there's some dim-witted little talk radio host in Pensacola, Florida, who's actually naive enough to believe in free speech for everyone. But he's obviously a rube, and these two Republicans have finally proved it. No matter what people might say, neither side really believes in freedom of speech for their opponents. And for proving this fact definitively and working to cancel the racially deranged Kanye West, we applaud thee, Rick Scott and Ashley Moody. Way to go. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to raise your awareness, dear other, into some outstanding journalism which has been done by our close friends and ideological allies at the famed cable news network, praise its name. Pulling together evidence from two different studies and a vast knowledge of American culture, CNN has exposed a deeply disturbing pattern of racism in modern technology. As the article asks, have you ever noticed the popularity of white robots? Think about movies. In WALL-E, Eve is white. In iRobot, Sonny is white. In Big Hero 6, Baymax is white. Even R2-D2, possibly the most lovable popular robot of all time, is white. In real life, Honda's Asimo, Ubitech's Walker, Boston Dynamics' Atlas, SoftBank's Neo and Pepper, and NASA's Valkyrie robots, all white. Even the BJ's restocking robot is white. That's right, CNN has finally exposed the ugly secret behind our modern technology, the rampant racism of white robots. And when you think of black robots in popular culture, what examples come to mind? Star Trek's the Borg, the Empire's black droids, or the killer robot dogs in the Black Mirror episode Metalhead? Are you starting to see the problem? Robots in fiction and real life are overwhelmingly white, unless they're evil, in which case, they're black. So in light of this very light problem, we're calling on the robot makers of the world to commit to manufacturing more robots of color. We want people to share the trending hashtag robotsowhite. We want robot affirmative action because robot diversity matters. And you know, the more we think about it, why not yellow robots? Why not red robots? Why not left-handed robots? Why not disabled robots? Just think of the inclusion we could accomplish if we had robots missing limbs or using wheelchairs. Why are robots so ableist? Robot representation matters, and this is a wonderful opportunity to teach inclusion, equity, and diversity by making robots represent the entire rainbow of human colors and abilities. But let us at least start with more black robots. Yes, if we're going to own technological servants who obey our every command and serve our every need, then I say that as many of those robot slaves as possible should be black. So if you agree with me that robot slaves shouldn't be white, stand with me in CNN and proudly proclaim, hashtag black robots matter. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Can't believe I even got mentioned in that one. So weird.
I was just like, what? Got mentioned.
John Pickens has traffic for us, John.
All right, no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. 90, 98. Everything is looking good so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much, John. If you need to do any kind of a home improvement project, a remodel, a rebuild, a fixer-upper, whatever the case may be, if you need supplies, Pensacola Hardware. If you need guidance, Pensacola Hardware. If you need safety equipment, Pensacola Hardware. If you build things for a living, am I being too repetitive? Pensacola Hardware. They're your place. For 175 years, they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. They have a great section of housewares for gifts for yourself or other people, knives and cookware and gumbo pots and Yeti merchandise. I mean, everything you could want. Plus, of course, the vast supply of hardware and hardware advice and guidance for you. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. The U.S.-Iran talks scheduled for today in Geneva have been called off. Negotiators from both countries were scheduled to meet to discuss implementing the 14-point agreement that President Trump signed in France this week. Vice President J.D. Vance, though, canceled his plans to travel to Switzerland overnight. A federal court has given Ohio permission to restrict children's use of social media. The 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals overturned a ruling yesterday which put Ohio's parental consent law on hold. They found the law did not violate free speech protections. And apparently a sequel to How the Grinch Stole Christmas is in the works. Jim Carrey's in talks to return, and so is Ron Howard as the director.
The sequel is supposed to be subtitled The Grinch Undergoes Open Heart Surgery. Well, anytime your heart grows so many sizes in one day,
right, yeah,
it's obviously going to lead you to problems later on. So, no?
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
No, it didn't win with that one?
I want to see how that turns out.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Vice President J.D. Vance didn't leave for Switzerland last night for peace talks.
The White House putting out this statement saying the plans for the upcoming technical talks have not been finalized, and the U.S. delegation has been prepared to depart at the first available opportunity, but the logistics of these negotiations have never been simple or predictable. The announcement of the delay followed a report from a Hezbollah-allied media outlet that Iran was delaying sending its delegation to Switzerland over Israel's ongoing campaign in Lebanon.
Fox's Max Gordon, Homeland Security. Information obtained by Fox News Digital shows the White House UFC terror plot ringleader is an illegal migrant from Mexico.
His name is Abraham Alvarez. According to the Department of Homeland Security, Alvarez entered the U.S. on a B-2 visitor visa and failed to leave the U.S.
That's Fox's David Spund. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now it's 79 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast with Marion Caldwell. That's up here in just a few minutes. Well, the small town of Jay in Santa Rosa County set to appoint a new town manager, according to the Pensacola News Journal. April Watson, currently the town's operations manager, is in line to take over when town manager Eric Seib retires on July 3rd. There's been some controversy regarding this, as Watson had pleaded no contest in 2010 to three charges of unlawful sexual activity with minors after having reportedly relations with a 17-year-old male student while teaching at Jay High School. Watson is currently a registered Florida sex offender. Tate High School's principal, Laura Touchstone, moving to a district-wide role. The Escambia School Board unanimously approving her appointment as the director of high school education this week, filling the vacancy left by the retirement of Lisa Morgan. The Tate principal position is now open and expected to be filled before the start of the next school year. Police in Niceville looking for help locating a man that went missing about a month ago. Jason Christopher Coulter was last seen leaving the college condominiums May 24th. He's described as white with brown hair and hazel eyes, 5'8", and about 150 pounds. Now, the election cycle underway. Chris Bryan with this story. He says Mayor Reeves getting a lot of support.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves picking up major support from the city's public safety community as he seeks a second term. Pulse Pensacola reporting Reeves is now endorsed by Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 71, and the Pensacola Professional Firefighters. Since taking office in 2022, Reeves has made public safety a top priority, backing pay raises, equipment upgrades, and expanding training for first responders. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Well, the Busch Light Fishing Family Rodeo is happening this Father's Day weekend on Pensacola Beach. Pensacola Sports Association President Ray Palmer says whether you're an experienced offshore angler, maybe just a kid with a rod on the shore, there's a spot for you in this tournament.
It's not uncommon for us to have the kids who are in the tournament that will go catch a
a pinfish or a croaker, and they'll come it up, and we'll come it up. We'll weigh it. They'll throw it back in the water and catch it again and bring it back to us and weigh it again. And,
I love it.
And the cycle repeats. We also have a display area where we show many of the fish that the anglers are willing to allow us to keep their fish. And mm-hmm. we have experts to come and explain what the kind of fish they are and where they're caught.
Palmer gave details on the fish rodeo on Pep Talk with Meg about a week ago. And the rodeo runs through Sunday, the 22nd, at Flounders on Pensacola Beach. Kids, of course, fish free with a paid adult. And there's a captain's meeting tonight, which includes a free fish fry dinner at Flounders. More information on this event at PensacolaSports.org. It is 6:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Let's take a look at I-10, I-110. They all look good. 9 Mile, Highway 90. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
And right now, cloudy skies, 78 degrees. Marion Caldwell has our forecast.
Widespread heavy rain is coming to an end this Friday morning as what's left of Tropical Storm Arthur continues to push east. It is a warm start to the day with temperatures in the 80s. We do continue to keep those rain chances in the forecast as a trailing cold front comes behind that system, leaving us with a chance for scattered showers and storms throughout the afternoon and this weekend. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell, your WEAR First Warning Weather.
6:35, your next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. Waymo is recalling some 3,900 robo-taxis in the U.S. to fix software issues related to driving into freeway construction zones. The voluntary recall is the second in just over a month. There were 13 incidents where Waymo vehicles drove into a construction zone in Phoenix or entered freeway lanes with active construction in and around San Francisco. This recall is for vehicles using its fifth-generation automated driving system. The Trump administration announced it'll offer student loan borrowers who sign up for AutoPay a 1 percentage point reduction on their interest rate starting July 1st. Currently, borrowers using AutoPay get a 0.25% discount. If you are not yet enrolled in that AutoPay, you still can do so by September 30th, and the discount will last through June 30th, 2028. And a reminder that Wall Street is closed for the Juneteenth holiday and will reopen again on Monday. The markets finished the week on a good note yesterday with all three indexes higher. The NASDAQ was up almost 500 points. That's Your Money Now.
The board recommends approving.
Regarding that seat on the committee, we're promoting.
To boost quarterly earnings.
Every day, shareholders meet to discuss important matters about the companies you invest in. Now you can easily make your voice heard. Vanguard Investor Choice gives you a say in the companies you invest in. With just a few taps, you can set your proxy voting preference for your index funds. Visit Vanguard.com/investor choice to learn more. Vanguard investors own shares of our index funds, which own shares of the companies they invest in. Available for Vanguard index funds that participate in Investor Choice. Vanguard Marketing Corporation distributor.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots, he scores.
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time. What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Roddy Jones, here to represent New World Believers. I'm coming in regards to a reimbursement that is owed and due to New World Believers. I did receive information, not directly from ECT, but from their attorneys in regards to our reimbursements. We went back and forth for some time, but still to no avail.
So, in case you do not remember the story here, Rodney Jones had come as a representative of New World Believers to the Escambia Children's Trust a couple years ago and gotten a pretty substantial contract to serve a bunch of kids. It was $1.7 million to serve 116 11, 18-year-olds over the course of 3 years. Mary Lett, writing on Education Matters, is a really good job for the PNJ, and she wrote about this last week. And then, of course, this is with the HOOPS program. Then that funding was terminated. They'd received a bunch of money, okay? In its third year, the program received $901,000 as of November 30th, with $503,000 remaining in the year, $503,000. They gave $305,000 in unused funds back, but they were still trying to settle some of the dispute about what they had given and what they were still owed before they were terminated in January. Because remember, in January, Rodney Jones was arrested and charged with sexual battery on a minor, the victim allegedly a member of his youth organization, currently out on bond pending legal proceedings, and his family was kind of caught up in all of this as well. So he now, awkwardly, showed up at the Escambia Children's Trust to say, give me my money.
Lastly, we were sent an agreement to a degree. The agreement amount was for $75,000. Two, I didn't agree with it because of the documentation that I currently have that refutes some of the deductions that they have. And that's all it's about, just some of the deductions that they have. I have all my receipts, all of my documentation that clearly articulates the amount of money that we are owed and due.
So he thinks he's owed more money. It wasn't 100% clear to me whether they want to give less than 75 or whether he wants to get more than 75. But in any case, there's some dispute about the full amount of money for, you know, basically November and December and I guess a partial month in January of services performed, which, you know, even though the contract was terminated, they still did perform services, and you would say they're entitled to compensation for having performed those services under the contract, right? So here's what he says.
I think it seems to be some type of witch hunt, if you will. I am not that guy. I am not that guy. I came as a professional. People have lied on me. People have spread rumor, conjecture, contradictions, and all of these things. I will be vindicated, but I will not let anyone bully me and push me around, nor my organization. When I have clear and concise documents, I can submit all of these to the board.
And, you know, innocent until proven guilty by law. But even so, if he does have the documentation saying that he's performed or his entity performed these services, then there is an obligation to pay those. There's more to this story, so hang on for a second. We're getting there. Takes a second to tell the whole story. That's why I do this.
Contract clearly states that New World Believers or any contracted organization will be compensated up until the day of termination, which was January 30th, 2026. My team worked till January the 15th of 2026. We were owed and due November of 2025, December of 2025, but we are yet still at June of 2026 to be compensated for those reimbursements.
So still waiting for the appropriate pay from November and December.
I think it's a travesty when you talk about helping children, when you move on your emotions and rumor and conjecture rather than evidence and proof, I will be vindicated. That's a fact.
Rumor and conjecture and emotion and other words in the thesaurus. So, yeah, Rodney Jones is wanting his money for his organization. The Scambia Children's Trust is disagreeing with him about the amount, and there's some kind of haggling going on. And I'll explain some of the response by the Scambia Children's Trust here in just a moment. Meanwhile, if you're thinking about buying a house, selling a house, moving to the beach, to the city, to the country, picking up a vacation rental, a long-term rental, downsizing, upsizing. I mean, look, you're starting a family, and you need to move out of the apartment and get a house, or you need to move out of the small house and get a larger house, or your parents, you know, you're getting married, whatever, or, you know, you're downsizing, you're empty nesting. I don't know. Everybody does real estate for different reasons. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can take care of you for that. They sold 209 homes last year. That's 4 a week. They bought a lot of homes, too. I don't happen to have that number. I should ask her sometime because I don't have that number. But they do a lot of real estate transactions, and the reason I mention that is because that's a level of expertise that, well, you know, frankly, not every team has. And it's also the benefit of having a team is that if, you know, say on a day somebody wants to come look at your house at a time when somebody else has a, I don't know, a family emergency or a conflict and you've only got one realtor, well, if you've got a team, then somebody else can pinch it, right? Somebody else can come in and help with that. And, you know, Christian always talks about that on Pep Talk, how that's an advantage because all the team, they all know how to do these things and they all help each other out all the time. So if you want to find out more or just want to ask questions, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We are still rolling accident and delay free. There's nothing to slow you down. I'm not seeing anything. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Rodney Jones's very awkward appearance at the Escambia Children's Trust, where even though he is under charges for, you know, pretty bad stuff, he's shown up there demanding his money that was, he thinks, improperly withheld for services actually rendered by the entity that he used to represent. So, Lumen May?
So you've turned that in? Huh? Have you turned that in?
Everything they asked me for, I sent in. I have emails to articulate the same thing.
And Commissioner May, I can address as well.
Yep, thank you.
New World Believers is represented by counsel, and so we've been engaging with their counsel to discuss a resolution of both the reimbursement and, of course, the board's election to pursue recovery of vehicles. The reimbursement request is proceeding as it normally would under the governing terms of the contract. It's not being treated any differently by staff.
It's been 6 months. It is not in concert with the contract. The contract does not articulate that. It is not in concert with the contract. When you have a November of 2025 and a December of 2026, that's far beyond any articulation that's within the dynamics of the contract. None of that is in there.
Commissioner May.
By the way, I love this comment by an unknown other person.
None of that is.
Sometimes you say more by not saying anything.
Commissioner May, I would just, again, he's represented by counsel. Counsel is working collaboratively through the process as we normally would. Mr. Jones, we appreciate you being here, but your public comment time is concluded. And we—
thank you. Goodbye, sir. Good day. I mean, they have, she's counsel. That's I believe that's Megan Fry, who's the attorney for the ECT. And she's talking about the counsel that is representing New World Believers, and they're talking about it. And Rodney Jones, who is no longer the leader of the organization, he just doesn't really have standing in this forum. And he can come as an individual, but it just doesn't, you know, they're talking with the lawyers and they're going to figure it out. And he's frustrated, but so what, right? That doesn't really matter for anything.
We in negotiations. I mean, because,
yes.
I mean, if
yes.
we're in negotiation, yes. I mean, active, I don't active want to actively negotiate.
I also love the exasperated, yes. I think that's the board chair, if I'm not mistaken. That so that would be Rex Northrup. But anyway, yes, we are in negotiations already.
Yeah.
Are we in negotiations? I mean, because,
yes.
I mean, if
yes.
we're in negotiation, yes. I mean,
active,
I don't want
active negotiation through counsel.
So when are we looking to provide a settlement? Because my reason being is I don't know what the legal bill has become on their side and our side. I certainly don't think we ought to be spending more, you know, in the litigation than the settlement.
I completely agree.
Yeah, if the disagreement is over $10,000 one way or the other, you don't want to spend $8,000 in legal fees wrangling over $10,000. That's ridiculous, right?
So when were we looking to settle this?
It's in their hands.
We've sent them the...
Everybody's informed about this except Lumen. Everybody knows what's going on except him.
So when were you looking to settle this? Or
it's in their hands.
We've sent them all the documents they have provided, we've discussed. We do not have all the documents. We can only reimburse what we can reimburse. That's y'all's policy. So I will absolutely call their counsel when we get back.
So you've offered them a settlement. You're just waiting for documentation?
No, we have sent a settlement agreement to counsel. That was a week ago. I followed up. He said he was communicating with his clients. And I think that we need to stay with the counsel and out of this meeting.
Which is good advice. If lawyers are negotiating about it, you don't talk about it in public. You let the lawyers represent you on both sides. She's exactly right.
Mr. Jones, I would just say, to the extent you're represented by counsel, you should not be sharing any communications.
I am not represented by New World Believers Counsel. My name is Rodney Jones. I stand alone. And I'm here as just a spokesperson for New World Believers.
I understand. I don't want you to share anything that is covered by the attorney-client privilege because your counsel is not here. I'm just providing you that caution. Your public comment period has concluded.
Okay, yes, Rodney, we're going to need to move on the public comment period. This is being handled through attorneys for both organizations. There has been some impairment for various reasons.
They're lying. I have all my documentation.
Mr. Jones, no one is lying. Public comment is concluded.
I will be vindicated.
Okay.
Here and in criminal court. You better believe that.
So.
I said good day!
Public comment is. Which, she's right. The lawyers are haggling it out. He may not have a lawyer in this because he's no longer with New World Believers, and it might be their lawyer, not his lawyer, but that's the point. It's not him. It's them. Public comment is done, and let's let the lawyers figure this out. And if there needs to be some, you know, if he wants to sue because he doesn't think he's been reimbursed enough, then he will sue at a later date. That's how the process works out. So I actually think, you know, given the oddness of it all, they probably handled this just right. But, you know, what the final settlement will be for services rendered, obviously, time will tell. 651 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As lead agency for our regional continuum of care, Opening Doors of Northwest Florida helps coordinate funding, data, and community planning to strengthen local response to homelessness. Offensive Corp and the Santa Rosa County Bicycle Street Outreach Project is an innovative pilot program helping reach the homeless in areas difficult to access by vehicles throughout Santa Rosa County. Together, Opening Doors and Offensive Corp work to strengthen housing stability across our community. Sponsored by DeLuna Lanes Bowling, where it never rains and no one sits the bench.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
I bet it goes like this.
How far have you gotten in your exploration of the Cat's Eye discography, John?
Just a few songs.
Man, I don't think it's fun. 653, it's like Pussycat Dolls, updated 20 years later for a totally different band. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is interesting. It might be true, and I only say this because I don't want you to go out and get in trouble, but I think it is true. At the moment, if you are 18, 19, or 20 years old, you can legally carry concealed in the state of Florida. because the 4th District Court of Appeals has agreed with the position that's now been taken by the state of Florida under Attorney General James Uthmeyer that they will not defend the state's prohibition on concealed carry for 18 to 20-year-olds. Now, you still can't go buy a gun. That's federal. You can't go buy a handgun. But possession of a handgun is legal for an 18-year-old, right? You can have one. So the 4th District, the 4th DCA 18-page decision says, restricting 18 to 20-year-olds, members of the same political community as other law-abiding adults from rights to self-defense would make the Second Amendment a second-class right. That's Judge Spencer D. Levine, 4th Circuit Court of Appeals. Joined by Chief Judge Jeffrey Kuntz and Judge Shannon Shaw. So the whole panel, that looks like a 3-0 decision. The case was from 2024, an arrest of an 18-year-old, Jalen Eubanks, for improper exhibition of a firearm, carry concealed. He pled no contest with the right to appeal. The Florida State Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, declined to defend the law, but the Broward County State Attorney's Office, the SAO in Broward, asked the appellate court to allow an amicus brief to argue upholding the law. So they were going against the Attorney General of our state and, you know, argued that, look, the Parkland event, impact of gun crimes in the state, we respectfully disagree with the position taken by the Office of the Attorney General. That's Attorney State Attorney Harold Pryor at the time. And they talked, then the court looked at Bruin, looked at all the different rulings that have come down from the Supreme Court lately and basically said 18 to 20-year-olds can defend the country without restriction but can only use their Second Amendment right to self-defense with severe restrictions. This burden on law-abiding 18 to 20-year-olds' right to public carry and specifically here concealed carry, which is not applicable to any other adults, is a burden that is facially unconstitutional as to 18 to 20-year-olds. This is great news to me. Because I have long thought that the prohibition on 18, 19, and 20-year-olds was unconstitutional. So, and again, I want to be cautious because, you know, as laws are in flux, you know, but so we'll be talking to our sheriffs about this. But it looks like 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, because we are a permitless concealed carry state, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds can now carry concealed without a permit. I would think they're also going to be allowed to apply for the permit, and you can't prohibit them from that. So we'll see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. But if you're on I-10 eastbound, just a little bit west of the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone, I'm starting to see just a couple minute delay there. But other than that, everything else looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Yes. So, you know, obviously we'll look forward to some guidance from our local law enforcement officers. But this is, you know, basically straightforward. Somebody might say, well, why would you need a concealed carry permit if you are don't need one to carry legally in Florida? Two reasons primarily. Number one, because then you can waive the 3-day waiting period on purchase, which is a really nice benefit. The other is if you cross state lines going to other states and they have reciprocity, then it can be very valuable for you. I have a CCP, even though you don't need it anymore. Of course, I got it back before you didn't need it. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Been a very interesting year for Second Amendment rights,
hasn't
it? Boy,
it has been. Wow. Yeah.
Well, the Obama Presidential Center is celebrating its grand opening in Chicago. Former President Obama spoke yesterday. Other former presidents were there, including Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Joe Biden. It officially opens to the public today. If you're planning a trip, Andrew.
I was not, personally. But at the giant Obamalith.
Yes.
Is that describing it?
Absolutely. Canada making soccer history with its first World Cup victory. Canadians dominated Qatar on Thursday with a 6-0 win in Vancouver. In the night game, Mexico defeated South Korea 1-0 and advanced to the next round. And today is Juneteenth, of course, the federal holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the U.S., recognized each year on June 19th. So, banks, post offices, and the such will be closed.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody texts in at 437-1620. Once you turn 18, you're an adult, not an adult in training. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can be tried as an adult.
Right, you can be drafted as an adult. Yeah, I mean, tried as an adult. You can be tried as an adult at a younger age,
I know,
too.
But I'm just saying.
And we do have alcohol restrictions and, you know, car rental restrictions. I mean, we have this, it's just a weird system where we give these kind of gradual progressive rights to, you know, adults. Let's see. Oh, somebody says the CCP, a concealed carry permit, also shows that you took the extra step of getting some proper training. And yeah, it's helpful for interstate traveling. I'll probably keep mine, even though it doesn't cost that much. But it's
I'm keeping mine.
It's a good form of ID, too.
Exactly.
I mean, it does serve a lot of purposes other than, you know, the necessity of having one to actually carry concealed. This is interesting. Scientists have developed an electronic nose chip that they can wave over food, and it'll tell you whether the food is spoiled or not. So it'll tell you that the chicken is 48 hours past due or the eggs are old or whatever. It's got to be trained on the stuff. And it's not, you know, it's not anything that's like ready for actual use. But in lab settings, it's theoretically very accurate, 90%+ of the time in deciding whether something is safe to eat or not safe to eat with a range of foods that it's able to sense.